You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Acts chapter 2 this evening. And at this time, all those in Pastor's Palace can be dismissed. Certainly are thankful for all those who take the time to invest in our children, whether it's the children's choir or pastor pals or in the mornings here on Sundays. It's an internal investment. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 12, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, 'What meaneth this?' Others mocking said, 'These men are full of new wine.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it."
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Pray that you'd speak to us tonight. We need to hear from you. These dear folks that have come tonight and these folks who are watching online, those that are listening by way of radio, they did not come to hear a man. But Lord, I believe that they came to hear a word from God, and help me to deliver that. Help me to be faithful to relay the message to these folks as you have given it to me and as it is given to us in your word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. So good to have the Duncans with us. We love having you folks. And anytime we can get Matt to sit up front too, that always makes it worthwhile. You always know it's children's choir when you see the front rows are full and the back rows are empty. But an amazing thing happens after the choir sings. Everybody goes back, you know, the Proctors and the Dixons and everybody else. But the Duncans have stayed up pretty close. Matt, I'm impressed. Now, your wife is behind you, though, so you might be a little nervous about that. Not a bit. No, you're not. Actually, she left about 20 minutes ago. She's probably over at, not Chick-fil-A, not today. But anyway, we're glad to see you folks. You're a blessing. Both. We've got all the family here. We're glad to have you. Acts chapter 2. I hope you're thankful that we haven't tried to cover the whole chapter in 1 week, because there's a lot to unwrap in here. We have seen Pentecost. We have seen the Holy Spirit of God come down and fill those believers that were in the upper room. We have seen now that they have begun to preach to all of the Jews that are gathered. By the way, if you look at a map in the back of your Bible, preferably after the service, not during the service, but if you look at the map, you will see that there were Jews that had come from all over. There were Jews that had come down from near Egypt and Cyrene and the regions of Africa. There were Jews that had come from Asia Minor and from Greece and as far as Rome. This was a huge area. These were people that had come that no longer spoke the language of the Jews. And so these disciples are preaching, and something miraculous happened. While they were preaching, the Bible says every man heard them preaching in their own language. That's a miracle. Boy, you talk about a dream for missionaries. Missionaries spend sometimes years trying to learn a language. These disciples were probably like some of us. Remember I said last week, most people in Roanoke Rapids are not bilingual. Most people in Roanoke Rapids don't speak fluently many languages, but these fishermen, these disciples of Jesus were speaking, and everybody was hearing the word of God in their own language. This was a miracle. So much so that people that were standing back observing the peanut gallery, they start accusing these men, saying they're drunk. This isn't real. This isn't anything good. These men are drunk. And Peter steps in, and Peter begins to preach a message. It'll take us tonight and next Sunday. I'll let you go home in between, but it'll take two Sunday nights. We'll make sure to clarify that. It'll take two Sunday nights, but I want to show you the message that Peter preaches to these people and the response he gives concerning what was happening. Notice verse 14. But Peter, I feel like I just can't get over when I see how God used Peter. I just can't get over how good God is to use Peter and how good God is to use any of us. Aren't you glad that although Peter had denied the Lord, although Peter had failed Jesus, aren't you glad that Jesus never failed Peter? And although Peter let Jesus down, Jesus never let Peter down. I am thankful that God can use Peter's. By the way, I'm glad that God can use Paul's. We will get in the book of Acts to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, not only was he unsaved, he was religious and he was lost and he was a persecutor of Christians. I about don't know a worse resume for somebody that we would pick. But yet God saved Saul on that road, and God transformed his life and changed him to Paul. And the book of Acts, we see Peter and we see Paul, and we see how God is using them greatly. Peter is God's spokesperson. What a blessing that God would use any of us. Peter is not speaking in his own ability. Peter is speaking now under the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember during Jesus' ministry, do you remember how many times Peter opened his mouth and foolish things came out? Remember how many times Peter stuck his foot in his mouth? Remember how many times Peter says, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to die for you. And Jesus says, you have no idea, get behind me. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, he said, hey, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan was using Peter. And Peter had a problem, and Peter couldn't say the right thing. And now, after the Holy Spirit of God fills Peter, and after God has restored Peter, Peter is preaching, and as we see, for the work of God. What a one. I see Peter, the person that God used. Secondly, I see in this passage the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this all throughout the book of Acts. But this church could not begin. These ministries could not carry on without the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, neither can ours. You've heard it said before, but some churches, if they had the power of the Holy Spirit removed, they wouldn't know the difference. Because many churches today are not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many churches have programs, and many churches have a plan and a schedule, and we've got ideas, and we've got technology, and we got ministries. But friend, we don't need all that as much as we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God to do a work. And this church, the early church, these disciples, they had the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 15. These are not drunken, as ye suppose. Remember in Ephesians chapter 5, the command was given by Paul to the church at Ephesus, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And you know the examples there. A person who is drunk, they are operating out of their control. They are operating and they're not in their normal thinking. They're not in their normal acting. And when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not in the old nature. We're not in the flesh. We're not talking like we used to talk. We're not acting like we used to act. We are acting in the power and in the control of the Holy Spirit. These men were preaching with the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice number 3 in verse 16. Peter says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, I want to say this. Pentecost was not the last days. And nowhere in this passage does it say that Joel's prophecy was fulfilled here. Now, it's referenced here, and I think we could even say it was a partial fulfillment. But notice what Joel prophesied in the Old Testament. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, had the Holy Spirit been poured out on all flesh? Well, not yet. There were 120 in the upper room. And today we have believers who are indwelled or who are filled with the Holy Spirit. But then it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Well, we know that there were the cloven tongues of fire, and so I think we could also say that there was probably smoke, but there wasn't blood at Pentecost. Then we get to verse number 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness. That didn't happen at Pentecost. The moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Those things didn't all happen at Pentecost, but someday all of those things will happen. And the Bible refers to this time when this happens in the last days. It is the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord in the Bible is not the same as Sunday, which is the Lord's day. The day of the Lord is an event that takes place at the start of the tribulation, right after the rapture, and it goes all the way till the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. And so, the day of the Lord has got some scary things, the tribulation, but the day of the Lord has some wonderful things, the millennial reign of Christ. And all of these prophecies will be fulfilled in the last days. But Peter says, this is what Joel was talking about. This is what Joel was referencing, that the Holy Spirit of God is coming and the power of the Holy Spirit will come. We see, thirdly, the prophecy. But fourthly, I want you to see the preaching. These men, verse number 18, were prophesying is the word there. We would say today, we would say the word preaching. But you know what's amazing to me? Is the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit of God is poured out, it affects everybody. And it ought to be something that every one of us experiences. Notice verse number 17. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. My servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. You know what Christianity is? Christianity is not just for mom and dad. Christianity is for teenagers. Christianity is for young people. Christianity is not just for the old, although I think people that are in their upper years and their later years, I think they ought to be an example. I think that they ought to be someone who's got wisdom and who can help and encourage the next generation. But Christianity is not just a religion for retired people. Christianity is not just a religion for children. Christianity is not just something that we do at a certain age group, but Christianity is something that ought to affect all of us. Can I tell you? I don't want Christianity, and I don't want the work that we're doing for God and the things that we're trying to instill in the next generation. I don't want it to end with us. I want to pass it on. And can I tell you, I hope every parent in here and every grandparent in here, I hope that you have a desire to walk with God and a desire to know God, not just for you, but so you've got something you can pass down, something that is real. Something that your children will see and not say, I can't wait to get out of this. But children will see and say, that's exactly what I want for me. And you know what I think the key is? I think the key is that we be real. Because if you will be real as a parent, your children will see that. And if you're a fake as a parent, your children will spot that a mile away. You know what young people need? They need grandparents that say, we love God and not just on Sunday. And we believe the Bible and not just during the preaching and not just in service, but we live the Bible. We believe it. And we need a generation of young people to come after us. that'll be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that will serve God, that will reach the next generation if the Lord tarries. But I see not only the preaching here, number four, but then I see number five, I see the promise. The promise is found in verse number 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah for that promise. And by the way, that promise is good today. That promise is available today. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad your life has been, no matter the things that you have done in your past, I'm glad that God still saves sinners. And whosoever shall call upon the Lord, they shall be saved. We use that verse often in our soul winning, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does a person have to do to be saved? They have to call on the Lord. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That you have to believe it, you have to confess it, and God is the one that does the saving. That is a promise. If you're here tonight and you're saved, that's how you got saved. There was a day when you realized you were lost, and you realized you couldn't get to heaven, and you realized that you were on your way to hell. And you called out on the Lord to save you. And guess what he did? He saved you because he said he would. And I'm glad God keeps his promises. Notice verse number 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Peter is inspired by inspiration of God. Peter was inspired by the Holy Ghost what to say. But Peter saw it, he witnessed it, he was there, and Peter says, let me tell you about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a man who was approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. This last year, 2023, I preached a lot from the Gospels. I preached a lot about the miracles of Christ and some of the parables of Christ. But one of the things that I learned from that was that Jesus did miracles because that was God putting his stamp of approval. That was the proof. That was the evidence that Jesus was who he said he was. And so Jesus did miracles. Jesus did signs. Jesus did wonders. You say, well, Pastor, why don't we see miracles today? Well, we do see miracles, but we don't see miracles like Jesus did. For instance, when we have a church fellowship, hallelujah for church fellowships. We used to call them back in the Midwest, we used to call them potlucks. Do y'all call them potlucks down here? Now, I will tell you, that name did cause me a little bit of concern. Because it makes you think that there's luck involved. Like, hopefully you'll get lucky and you'll pick the right one, you know. But we would have those fellowships. And we have fellowships like that today. Many of you ladies that help with those fellowships. Many of you ladies that cook for meals around here. We have never one time said, just bring five loaves of bread and two little fishes. That's all we need. We'll take care of the rest. We've never done that. Say, well, Jesus did it. You're exactly right. And you know why Jesus did it? He did it as a sign to prove that he was who he said he was. We don't have to do that at the church fellowship. We don't have to break the bread and pass it out to 5,000 people plus women and children. We don't have to. You say, well, Pastor, what is our proof? What is our evidence? What is our sign? What is our wonder? What do we have to prove to people that Jesus Christ is real? Because that's who we're preaching, right? Well, what do we have to prove to people that Jesus is the Son of God? What is it that we have? We're not feeding the 5,000. We're not turning the water into wine. We're not going out across Lake Gaston in a big storm. What do we have? We have some. We have an empty tomb. We have a risen Savior. We have a Savior who hung on a cross and he died and he was buried and he rose again and he is alive forevermore. I'd rather have that than to have a basket full of bread. I'd rather have a risen Savior than have a witness, somebody walking on water in a storm. I'm going to do something else. We've got the Word of God. Now keep in mind, the disciples, they were there and they saw Jesus, but the New Testament was not completed. They didn't have the account of the miracles. They didn't have the account of the crucifixion. They didn't have the story of the resurrection. They didn't have the book of Acts. They didn't have the book of Revelation. They didn't have what we have. Whew, but we got it. Can I tell you, I'd rather have this than have what they had. Because the Bible says we have more sure. This is more sure than if you were standing there hearing it with your own ears. You know why? Because if you were there hearing it with your own ears, you might forget. You might mix it up. Have you ever done that? Have you ever heard something and then you went back to tell somebody, you said, now what did they say again? What was that? Have you ever played the game of telephone? That's scary. Things really get changed. But I'm glad we have a book that never changes. It is forever settled in heaven. We have the authority of the Word of God. We have the power and the evidence of an empty tomb. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And friend, I want to tell you, you don't have to wait in an upper room. You and I don't have to wait for some event to take place before we can have the power of the Holy Spirit. All we have to do tonight is to get on our knees and fall on our faces and say, Holy Spirit of God, I yield myself to you. Holy Spirit of God, cleanse me from sin and cleanse me from self. Help me to crucify the flesh and help me to walk in your power. And you and I can have the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. And I want to tell you, that's the proof that we have. That's the sign. That is the evidence that we have today. And I'm thankful for that proof. Number six. Number seven, I want you to see quickly the plan of God. We see in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 23. I love this verse. It says, him, that is Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. That word determinate was, there was an appointed council that put Jesus to death. There was the high priest. There was Pilate. There were the Jews that shouted out, crucify him, crucify him. There were all those people. And guess what? All of those people, God knew would be there. God knew that they would say what they would say, that they would do what they would do. Even Pilate, who tried to talk him out of it, he said, I find no fault in this man. He's not worthy to die. All of those people were right in the place where God knew they would be. There was a determinate council. They determined that Jesus would be crucified. But notice this. Not only the determinate council, but Jesus Christ was delivered according to the foreknowledge of God. Now that's an amazing truth right there. To think that God was not caught off guard. God was not surprised. God was not in heaven panicking, thinking, oh no, what am I going to do now? And friend, I want to tell you, with what you're going through, God's not in heaven nervous about your situation. He's not worried about it. God's not up in heaven. He's not counting pennies trying to figure out how he's going to meet your needs. God is not up in heaven thinking, oh no, this situation has gotten a little bit out of control and I'm not sure I can help them. God knows what you're going through. He knew it before it ever happened. And God has a plan in your life and in my life that is so much better than we could ever imagine. The foreknowledge of God, this was prearranged. God thought about it ahead of time. That was the plan of God. Jesus was crucified and slain by wicked hands, no doubt about it. Jesus was not worthy of death, but this was God's plan. Can I tell you, if God had a plan for your salvation, God has a plan for your sustaining. If God had a plan for your salvation, God has a plan for your suffering. If God had a plan for your salvation, God has a plan for your sanctification. God has a plan for your life, and it's a good day when you say, Lord, my life is in your hands. Forget about my plans. Forget about my agenda. Forget about the things that I want to do. Lord, sign me up for your plan. What a wonderful thing it is when we surrender our will and say, not my will, but thine be done. Lastly, I see in verse number 24, I see God's power over death. Not just the power of the Holy Spirit, not just the power here in preaching, but notice the specificity of verse 24, whom God hath raised up. Now, we have heard it so many times. Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again. But don't ever forget how miraculous that is. We're not talking about Jesus healing somebody who was dead and raising them. Jesus raised himself. Jesus conquered death himself. And he didn't need your help. And he didn't need my help. He did it himself. Him, God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. I love this. Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. That word loosen, to loosen the pains of death, it doesn't just mean that God kind of started untying the rope and God started, you know, undoing the chains. That word loosen, it means to destroy. It means to dissolve. It means to have completely done away with. God came in and he completely conquered death when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Aren't you glad that he has power over death? I am. Because we all have loved ones who have died. We all have family members. We all have people that we knew and people we loved and people that we miss. And if Jesus Christ did not have power over death, then we would say we have seen those people for the last time. But I'm glad because he lives, we can live also. Amen. I'm glad that he has power over death. That means not only do I not have to fear death for my loved ones, but I don't have to fear death for myself. Amen. And can I tell you that? That'd be a scary thing to face if you didn't know Jesus. But when Jesus talked about his power over death, he said, I have the keys of hell and of death. Now, if you've got the keys, you're in good shape. If you got the keys, you've got the power and you have the authority. You are in charge. And Jesus Christ is in charge. There's not a person that knows the Lord that has to fear death. Now, sometimes, let's be honest, we do. And sometimes we do cry. And the Bible says we sorrow. But we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Because we know that the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Coburnack. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.